God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're still in Mark 13, and we're dealing with the conclusion to these verses in 9 through 13, and then we'll move on to the next section. All right, let's take the usual time to remember that we are vulnerable as believers to misunderstanding of information if we are here distracted. We are to put aside, lay aside the sin nature, all other concerns and preoccupations that we have. They'll take care of themselves. They always do. And all things work together for those who are positive. So let's take the usual time to get ourselves in fellowship, if that's what you need to do. And no talking while I'm teaching. Let us pray. Father, once again, we thank you that we have a local church that we can assemble under face-to-face teaching and receive those things necessary to prepare us for the days we find ourselves in and put us in a position to receive the high reward that you have promised to those who endure to the end. Bless this Bible class to that end. In Christ's name, amen. Jesus, clear back in 33 A.D., is addressing future believers who will have these scriptures in front of them in order to function properly when the persecution of these believers is cranked up in the tribulation, both in Israel and outside Israel, both believing Jews and believing Gentiles. This will be a period of severe persecution of believers on the earth. But they are given direction as how to handle it. We all understand that persecution for your faith is a part and parcel of being a viable believer in time. And that is an opportunity to produce SG3 and to make a statement if necessary. Be on your guard. In other words, get yourself geared up for this. We are in, and always have been, a spiritual warfare. A lot is at stake and a lot's going on. There's no reason why you, as an individual, cannot survive and not become a casualty. By a casualty, I mean a believer who fails, falls, and runs and compromises and denies Christ. Be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you'll stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. So this is broader than just in Israel. This is worldwide. There will be worldwide conversion to Christians, and they will be subject to persecution by the authorities in those nations. I mean, millions will die under the Antichrist in Western Europe. You wouldn't think it today. Look at the Europeans. You don't think it was a hotbed of even fundamentalist Christianity. It's watered down Protestantism and Catholicism and liberalism. But there's going to be a sea change. And millions of people are going to refuse to take the mark of the beast, and they will be martyred. They're called the tribulational martyrs. We've had martyrs throughout human history. in a sense, the first martyr was Abel. He died because of his faith at the hands of his own brother. His older brother murdered him in cold blood. We studied that in John, didn't we? We reviewed it. This opportunity is for individuals in the future. Who knows what we'll have to go through between now and the rapture. And you'll stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. This was a regular feature of the Apostle Paul's ministry. He stood before a variety of authorities and got to make a statement, and it was a forum to present the facts and the details of who and what Jesus Christ is. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. This will be done on various levels. One, an angel will do it. Two, there will be others that do it. The gospel will, you can be assured, that all who are left behind at the rapture will get a very clear gospel hearing. How to get saved. Because the worst thing that can happen to you is to stay in that unsaved state. The miseries of the tribulation are only temporal. It's only 7 years. 1260 days on the front side and 1260 on the other side. And then the kingdom of Christ is established. When they arrest you, as we saw last time, and hand you over, do not worry beforehand. See, this takes the heat off. It's called faith rest. About what you are to say. But say whatever is given to you in that hour. That won't be given to you until you're standing before, he's saying, you're standing before your accusers. For it is not you who speak. It is the Holy Spirit. All the individual has to do, yes, they can spend the time before praying, claiming, and I speak advisedly, reminding God of this verse. I'm resting in what you said here. You don't know what they're going to say to you exactly, but you will be given it by the Holy Spirit, as if the Holy Spirit took you over. Sometimes we speak bigger than ourselves. We really do. I've had people tell me this. Not necessarily in a heated environment like this. I've had someone has told me they were out on a job, and where they work for people at a home, doing something for them, and a person asked a question about the plan of God. He said, it just flowed out of me. And I didn't take up a bunch of her time either. She got a witness. The point is, it isn't the effectiveness of your witness is you speaking the truth. What they do with it, that's them. It's like me up here. What you do with what I teach, it's not on me. It's on you. It's on me to communicate it. It's on you to embrace it and line up with it. That gives me a lot of peace. I have no magic thing I can do. I wouldn't want to anyway. I just want, I don't have any, as they said, Kool-Aid. I have nothing. All I have is this message. That's any communicator through time. All they had was a message. They were commissioned by God, a mandate. I have a mandate to teach the whole counsel of God and to hold back nothing that I know to be true. Nothing. Regardless of the reaction, the negative reaction it might engender. I can say honestly that I have not held back anything I know to be true when it came down to me having a grasp of it and an understanding of it. I didn't come here for that. I didn't come here to pull punches. Oh, let's not touch that topic. Can you imagine going in an average fundamentalist church today in many cases and trying to teach the United States in prophecy? Can you imagine the reaction? Take one of these big churches out here, or any of them, and tell them the details of that. Work through it. Show them the evidence that all these scriptures we just looked at add up and point his finger in one direction. Even those who believe that Christ is coming back and all the rest of it. You can imagine. That'll last a minute there. Or one Bible class maybe. They don't want sound doctrine in the last days. Get that in your head. We're in a time when Christians will not endure sound doctrine. If all the believers, or a bunch of them in America, were positive, the country would probably survive. There would be enough salt to overcome this insanity that we hear in the news every day, that we're being bombarded with. The lawlessness in high places and in the streets. Brother will betray brother to death. There's your Cain and Abel syndrome. And father his child. And children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. Rat on them. Their own parents. It's not enough to just say, well, I don't agree at all with what you say, but I'm not going to have you killed. That's the intensity of some of the reaction to the plan of God. You'll be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end, and I'll explain this in a minute, will be saved. That's not saved from hell. It is not saved from hell. You're not saved from hell by... Believers through time have denied Christ under pressure. They have. They're still Christians. They're still believers. So we'll get to that here in our points. Oh, I forgot. I gave you a little timetable. Now this isn't designed to deal with it. I mean, there's all kinds of different time things we could give you. Everybody got one? If you don't have one, raise your hand. Okay. It's simple enough. What this is designed to do is to show you, and I gave one verse to document it, that there are only 7,000 years of human history from Adam and Eve until the conclusion of the history of Earth 1. Now, the Earth 1 had a history before Adam and Eve, obviously. But once man came on the scene, once humans were on the earth, just two of them, a man and a woman, we have the date for their appearance or creation. Of all things, it's 3954 BC. Not some nice round figure like 4,000 or something, close to 4,000. Bishop, a Christian called Bishop Usher, he had a timeline, and he had the date of creation at 404 BC. Okay. The reason it's 3954 is because I take the genealogies, the ones in the Old Testament. So-and-so lived so many years and begot so-and-so. You know those boring genealogies? They are very important. They give you a time frame so that if you add them up and you read the one in Genesis there, 5 and so forth, that goes from Adam to Noah, it'll add up to 1,656 years. Exactly. Then we work beyond that, and we begin to establish dates, and we work it all out, and we come up with 3954 BC minus one, because when you go from BC 1 BC to 1 AD, you have to subtract one. Just take my word for it. It's not it doesn't affect this dramatically, but it's in there. The second advent at 2028. And this we will document based on the doctrine of the fig tree yet to be reviewed. 80 years from the birth of Israel, the rebirth of Israel, in 1948, May 14th. That adds up to a grand total of 5,981 years from Adam to that point. The millennium is 1,000 years. That's easy. At 1,000, we get 6,981 for the millennium. At the end of the millennium, you can read it in Revelation, when the 1,000 years are over, there's a stand down. Satan and his crew have been in hell for 1,000 years. They are bumped off the earth at the second advent. The earth is cleansed of Satan and his works so that nobody in the millennium can say, Satan deceived me. And there will be no false religions, false ideas. The knowledge of the Word of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Whereas here today, the knowledge of God is found in little pinpoints here and there. Okay? So, Satan will be released. He has been in hell for 1,000 years. He gets to come out again. Of course, Satan's never been in hell. He was sentenced to it, along with his angels, by the Lord, following his fall. Following the angelic revolution in which one third of all angels sided with Satan and the two thirds stayed with God. Angels have volition too. They stepped over that line. And there's a verse in Hebrews 2:10. There's no salvation package provided for angels. Why? Because they were eyewitnesses to original creation. Heaven and the earth. They saw it. All come together. They all celebrated it before the fall. Okay. Satan's released. That would mean there is a grand total of 19 years during this time in which he goes out and convinces the nations. He's given a free hand. Because after Christ and the church has ruled over the earth with Israel and all the positives for 1,000 years. And remember, during the 1,000 years, the population explosion on this earth will be unbelievable. Remember what we have today, 7 to 8 billion? Because there will be no war. Disease will take a large holiday. There will be no criminal syndicates. Nothing like that will be allowed to get going. Yes, individuals will commit high crimes and be executed and convicted and executed immediately. Nobody will walk. No corrupt judges. None of this business. And we'll see to it. We will be assigned to see to it under the rod of iron. Can you envision yourself of going out and executing someone under the command of Jesus Christ? You committed murder. Here's the evidence. Here's the witnesses. You're dead. That scares the hell out of everybody else that's supposed to. I ain't going to do that. But that dummy did. See, 1,000 years. It's called the rule of the rod of iron. Meaning, live in peace, prosper materially, physically. Do what you're going to do with the gospel. We're not going to kill you for not believing in Jesus. But you're not going to commit these crimes. Nations will not be permitted to learn the art of war. No military academies, no armies, no weapons, all of it. You won't have any of this going on. If nations have a disagreement with another nation, they go to the court of arbitration, which is Jesus Christ. And he rules on it. In other words, India and Pakistan won't be fighting over Kashmir for all the history that they've been arguing over this piece of land. It'll be, as an example, this will be settled. Jesus Christ will rule up from Jerusalem as a king over the nations. much like an emperor of antiquity, like a Nebuchadnezzar or a Cyrus who had a kingdom made up of nations and he was the authority over them. And we will be given assignments. You might rule over a city. Whatever. I guess my whole point is this. Can you imagine this kind of evidence in front of people? It doesn't hardly take any faith. There's Jesus Christ. There's all these people in resurrection bodies and everything's like it. And you're still negative? That's the perversity of negative volition. So we never should be surprised today at the kind of negative volition that we see in people, even in believers. The 19 years will end with the Gog and Magog revolution. And all these people will be organized by Satan and they will attack Jerusalem, the dummies. And fire will come down out of heaven and poof, they're gone just like that. And that ends human history with 7,000 years. Now the verse at the bottom documents what I'm talking about. It's not the only thing it documents, but it documents it. I challenge anybody to make any sense out of this verse other than what I'm going to tell you. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, Peter, writing to his audience, says, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. What? What is God? God does. You and I might feel the sense of time. Think. Because of our makeup. Time's going fast. When you're young, I can't wait till I'm 20 or something. It's just so slow. And then it seems to go fast. The thing is, God is not subject to those kind of feelings. So this has, because you have two opposites here. One day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. So that this isn't mumbo jumbo. What's it saying? God established a 7-day week. Right? 7. The number of perfection in the Bible. Look at all the sevens or combinations of 7 in the Bible. God likes that number. The number 7. You say lucky 7. 7. Perfect number. Okay. So, as there were 7 days, this will... And we know from other study of other scriptures, under the doctrine of days, there's a 24-hour day. There's the day of the Lord, which isn't a 24-hour day by any means. It's all the time from the rapture to the end of the Gog and Magog event. That's the day of the Lord. Eternity will be called the day of God. And that's forever. So, sometimes day is used for 1,000 years. After 2 days is one of the prophets. After 2 days, if you 24 hours, that makes zero sense. But after 2,000, for the restoration of Israel, and they're coming back under the Lord, then that makes some sense. So a day equals 1,000. So that's the little puzzle here. And this is the basis, one of the bases, for that human history will span. So nobody out there believes that. All these people got timelines. And of course, the crazies are so, you know, billions of years, millions of years, or whatever they have. And even the evangelicals, when I first going, well, I think Adam was created, they just made it up. Around 10,000 B.C. Why? Why would you say that? What's the magic about 10,000? Instead of just sticking by your guns and to hell with the cosmos and what they think. And all their chronologies and all the stuff they've done. All those expanded things. The Egyptian Empire started. And you'll see these numbers, 30,000 years. On and on it goes. It's another big lie. To disorient you to the Bible and make the Bible look dumb. So that's that. I got... This makes perfect sense. They tried during the French Revolution to change times, because it was a complete revolt. They wanted to change the number of days in the week and everything. They tried this mess, and it failed. The Antichrist will try it too. He'll try to change times. But it won't stand up. This nonsense never does. Okay, back to this. Here we have an almost unthinkable violation of family ties as the betrayal is unto death. Two times, verse 12. Here it is illustrated as brother against brother, point 54, father against child, and children against parents. What's that tell you and me? That we're to follow God first, not family. Family isn't number one. God's number one, and doing His will is number one. This is what's killed so many people around here. Some family member. Family. How many times I've seen it, I don't even want to think about it. They put family first. Family's important. I've had one occasion I can think of offhand, a woman calling up here because her daughter was going here. Irate. You're supposed to bring families together, not separate them. I said, I never taught anybody to treat anybody bad. I taught them to put the truth and Bible doctrine first. Well, she wouldn't want to hear that. They want to go to church, you know. Yes, it's ideal world. Look at the Bible. How many families had perfect harmony and everybody in it was positive? All the time. You got Esau and Jacob. Twins. Esau heard the same thing. Saw it in the first family. Cain and Abel. You can't make anybody positive. So, if it comes down to it, you have to stand up for the faith, the truth. Because some of you have suffered, as I have, a family member that went south spiritually. It isn't going to affect me. If they're a believer, I'll see them in phase three. Of course I will. But I'm not marching to their drum beat. Period. Anybody's. Thus far I haven't. I treat my parents well, but in my early Christian life, I wasn't going to succumb to that pressure. Oh, you want to be a preacher. You know who you're going to end up like? That's the stuff I heard. You're going to be taking vegetables from little old ladies. That doesn't sound very glamorous, does it? But I've had ladies give me vegetables and other gifts. That's fine. They made it sound, you know, like, oh, this is just awful. You've got a good mind. You ought to go into whatever. No, thank you. I think God's got all the goodies, and I'm going to follow Him. He's got the ultimate goodies. Whatever you can get in this life and sell out for, big paying job somewhere, your dream environment, or some female you've just got to have that's negative as a post. Oh, okay. That you got your reward. That's it. It's right there. You got that. But that's going to be separated from you eventually too. And then you're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ and see what you missed out on. If you're here and you're in that mode, don't play anybody. You're not interested in this, walk. Don't pretend to somebody like you're interested. Okay, I'm going to stay here until I marry him. I want to marry them. And then you act up. Forget it. A little marriage counseling for you. Or premarital, or whatever you want to call it. I've seen that one too. This guy had to have her. She wasn't positive. Bye-bye. God will provide. There's billions of females, and there's all over the world, and God will provide. And if He shouldn't, then I'll just stay single until the end. Because I'm not going to be knowingly going to become unequally yoked. I'm going to do that up front. That's why if you're in that mode and situation, you better pray real hard. If this isn't right, God, bust it up. End it. Maybe you passed that test already. Maybe you got it again. Maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking to you saying, you had better be sharp about this. Because once the honeymoon's over, and you got to deal with the real world, and you got to come to Bible class, and this person is a dud, if you're already married to someone, don't take this wrong. I got to cover every base possible, don't I? You stick in there with them. They may come around. This is where you're at. God will work all that for your good. I can't say to you, oh, if you just pray for them, they'll come around. No, I can't say that. Jesus prayed for his disciples and Judas didn't come around. Judas was locked into negative volition to the bitter end. He saw everything, heard everything, ended it. In verse 13, this hatred is expanded to include all the nations and is attributed to Jesus' name. This especially fits with the tribulation. The Apostle John writes of general hostility and ostracism from the cosmos. Once you begin to change, and I don't mean you're a Bible-waving, in-people's-face type, but the cosmos doesn't love you. Let me say this. There are very nice people out there. Really nice people. And really people that aren't nice. But anyway, there are nice people out there. That doesn't make for a positive person. And if they knew what all you believed and what you were hearing, they might not be so nice. Their hostility is towards God. And their cover is being a nice person. A good person. And we like that. But it isn't positive volition. It's just how some people operate. They have a certain moral code. They treat people, generally speaking, like they like to be treated. So, John 15, 18 through 21. If the world hates you, and it does, first class condition, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. Did the world love Jesus? No. Not even the society of which he was a part. They didn't love him. Exceptions, but he's talking in general terms. If you were of the world, if you're a cosmos type, all wrapped up into the cosmos, marching to its tune, the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Because of your relationship with me. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. The master is Jesus and we're the slave. And the slave will be treated accordingly. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. 16, 1 through 4. These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. Okay. Kill this. Okay, no comment. I got it. These things I've spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue. Now he's speaking to Jews who became Christians and they wouldn't let him come into the synagogue. They were excommunicated. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. How many people have killed people and their religious people did it? These things they will, do to you because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes, you remember that I told you of them. These things I do not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Okay. Also, 17, 14, and 16. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Jesus is praying here. Because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And 1 John 3:13. Get the right place here, excuse me. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. That can be a shocker. The world is antagonistic to divine viewpoint, does not want to hear divine viewpoint. They'll talk everything around in the world, but not divine viewpoint. They don't want to hear it. And a lot of Christians are like that too, as I've noted over and over. Chapter 4, 4 through 6. You are from God, little children, and you've overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Of course, that's Satan. They are not from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We're from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In verse 13b, the one who endures to the end will be saved, is a promise to the individual believer who does not deny Christ to the very end of his life or survives the trip. And the individual who endures to the end is the one who stays positive, come what may, to the very end. 59. The deliverance spoken of here is not phase one salvation, as this does not entail works. Sometimes the noun salvation and the verb to save is used in connection with completing one's phase two. Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What are you being delivered from? Loss and shame at the appearing of Christ, not your salvation. It is irrevocable. It's permanent. Anyone who believes, they've got it forever. Those who do not endure to the end will suffer loss, loss of reward. 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul talking to his protege, Timothy, in the ministry. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching content. Persevere in these things. Stick with it, Timothy. For as you do this, you'll ensure salvation or deliverance both for yourself and for those who hear you. Of course, Timothy and his audience were all believers. So the salvation here is the deliverance from a bad moment at the Bema seat and not getting the crown. That's the other thing we are to fear. For a similar experience of persecution from the church age, see Matthew chapter 10 and is that what I want here? Skip that. When a disciple will be delivered from here in verse 10 is loss and shame at his final evaluation. Because all believers will have a final evaluation. Ours comes at the rapture. Old Testament saints come at the second advent, and so forth. For another example, see Matthew 10:33. Maybe that's what I was trying to do there. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. He's not going to deny him as a believer. Reward. And Luke 12:9. But he who denies me before men will be denied. Loss of SG3 before angels. It won't look good. So that's the reason to hang in there. All right, we'll pick up with our new set of notes and deal with the tribulation tomorrow night. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.